I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 106. We're going to spend a few minutes considering parts of this psalm together as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Now, as you may remember, I read from this psalm at the beginning of the service as our call to worship. And we see there in the beginning of this psalm and then again at the end of this psalm in verse 48, the psalmist calls God's people to worship him, to worship God, in light of who he is. And the psalmist highlights there in verse 1, he says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." The psalmist highlights the goodness and the enduring love of God as the reasons we should give him praise. He says in verse 2, "Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise?" The psalmist is saying, in other words, our God is so great. He is so good and so loving that we could never exhaust his praise. That in reality, we are inadequate to give God praise that would match his greatness and his goodness. And yet, we're called to praise him. And this call to worship is a necessary thing. It's necessary for God in his word to call us to worship him. And we find calls to worship like this throughout the Psalms. In fact, Psalm 105, the previous psalm, and Psalm 107, the next psalm, both begin with very similar calls to worship as we find here in Psalm 106. For example, Psalm 105, "O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works." And then Psalm 107, echoing Psalm 106, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So throughout the Psalms, we find these calls to worship, to give God praise in light of who he is and what he's done for his people. And there's a reason we find these calls to worship repeated over and over and over again in Scripture. We are prone to forget God's goodness and his steadfast love. When life is going our way, it seems easy to praise God, right? It seems easy to recognize his goodness and his love. But as soon as our circumstances change, we often forget all about those things, don't we? Start to wonder, does God really care? Is God really sovereign? Is he really good? We forget that even in those difficult circumstances, a good and loving God is in sovereign control of our lives. And so much of the rest of Psalm 106 focuses on the Israelites' failure to remember God's goodness and love. And the psalmist's main point, though, is not look at these people, how wicked they are. He highlights their sin primarily to remind them of how amazing the goodness and love of their God is. He highlights how they've rebelled against God and forgotten his goodness and his love, so he can remind them that God's love is greater than their sin. That God's love is able to overcome their rebellion and wickedness. And so we see in verses 6 and 7, the psalmist confesses both his sin and the sins of the ancient Israelites. He says, "Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love." Notice what he says there in those verses. He confesses their sin, their wickedness, and then he keys in on the fact that they did not consider the works of the Lord. They had forgotten the abundance of God's steadfast love, the psalmist says. In other words, he highlights the fact that they have forgotten. They have failed to remember the goodness and the love of God. And we see the result of their failure to remember God's goodness and love at the end of verse 7. He says that they rebelled by the sea, at the Red Sea. So the result of their sinful lack of responsiveness to God's goodness and love was rebellion. And the same is true for us when we drift from the gospel of God's grace, when we fail to remember that we are saved not by our own works, but by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we stumble into sin and rebellion. Yet the psalmist reminds them in verses 8 through 12 that the Lord remained faithful despite his people's rebellion. He says, yet he saved them for his name's sake in verse 8. In verse 9, the psalmist says that God led them through the Red Sea. In verse 10, he says that God redeemed them. In verse 11, he says that God judged their oppressors, their adversaries. So despite the fact that God's people had been unfaithful, despite the fact that they had forgotten God's goodness and his love, God was faithful. God remained true to his promises. And then we see a bit of hope here in verse 12. The psalmist says, then they believed his words. They sang his praise. So after they see the demonstration of God's saving power, saving them, judging their enemies, they believe. They believe his words and they give him praise. And yet, the psalmist tells us in verses 13 through 15, that response was very short-lived. We see in verses 13 through 15, it wasn't long before God's people once again forgot his goodness and his love. Verse 13, but they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. And he goes on to describe how they desired things that they should not have desired. Verse 15, God gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. How quickly we forget what the Lord has done for us. I mean, often we look at the Israelites and we think, they saw God's power displayed in ways we can only imagine. How could they forget? How could they turn so quickly from God? And yet, we often do the same thing. God is gracious to us. We know that he is sovereign over our lives. We've seen his work in our lives over and over again, and yet those difficult circumstances come and we forget. We forget that God is good. We forget about God's love. And in verses 16 through 33, the psalmist recounts the sad history of the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness. And we're not going to go into each of these verses in detail, but he says in verses 16 through 18, the people were jealous of Moses and Aaron, God's servants. In verses 19 and 20, the people engaged in idolatrous worship. In verse 21, the psalmist says, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham. Again, there's that language of they forgot God's works. Now, it wasn't just that they were absent-minded and they just, you know, overlooked it. They were sinfully failing to believe that God is good, that God is loving, that he will be faithful to his promises. Verses 24 through 27, the psalmist recounts how they murmured and complained as they wandered through the wilderness. God cared for them. In Deuteronomy, he tells them they've never been without. He's provided them with everything that they need, and yet they murmured and complained. Verses 28 through 31, once again, the psalmist recounts how the people sinned by engaging in idolatrous worship. Yet again, they didn't learn. With the incident of the golden calf, they didn't learn. They again offered sacrifices to a false god. In verses 34 through 43, the psalmist recounts the sad history of the Israelites after they got into the promised land. You know, as you read the history of the Israelites, you think, okay, now once they get into the land, once they're in the promised land where God had promised to place them, that then they would worship God, then they would be faithful. But as you've read the Old Testament, you know that's not the case. After the Israelites entered the land, the psalmist highlights how they failed to drive out the peoples whom the Lord had told them to drive out. They married people who did not worship the true God. They adopted the worship and the practices of the pagan culture in which they found themselves. And the psalmist highlights just the wickedness that was rampant in Israel, even after the Israelites entered the promised land. And so in the majority of this psalm, the psalmist highlights the failure of the people of God to remember his goodness and to remember his love. But then we come to verse 44, And we see that despite the rebellion and sin of his people, God kept his promises. He remained merciful. We read, "Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He caused them to be pitied by all those who held them captive." So possibly the psalmist is referring to God releasing his people from their captivity. He says that despite their sin, despite their wickedness, despite their failure to worship God as they ought to, God was merciful to them. Verse 45, God remembered his covenant. Now, it's not that God had forgotten his covenant, but he brings the blessings of the covenant to bear on them in the midst of their wickedness and sinfulness. He remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. This is the God we serve, a God whose goodness and steadfast love are greater than our failure and sin. You see, the Israelites failed God in many ways. They failed to live up to the standard that he had called them to live by. They failed to be the people that God had called them to be, and yet God remained merciful. God displayed his grace in rescuing them time after time after time. And as I said earlier, the psalmist's purpose is not so much to lay a burden of guilt upon the people of God as he recounts these things. His purpose is to remind the people of God of God's great love. You see, the reason he rehearses the history of Israel is to show the people of God that God is indeed good. He has not abandoned you, even though you have been unfaithful to God at times. Because of our tendency to forget, the psalmist reminds us. We are quick to lose sight of God's love, and we need to be reminded again and again and again. And that's what the psalmist does here in the psalm. He holds up the history of God's people. He holds up the history of God's saving acts to remind them that their God is good. Their God is merciful. Their God is sovereign. Their God's love endures. In the Lord's Supper, God has wisely given us a reminder of his love, an unmistakable reminder of his steadfast love. Week after week, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, God reminds us of the greatest demonstration of his love that he's ever given. We read in Romans 5, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There's that amazing truth of the gospel, that God did not leave us in our sin and wickedness. He did not leave us under his wrath and his condemnation, but he sent a Savior. We, like the Israelites, have failed to love and worship God as we ought to. We, like the Israelites, have rebelled against God's word. And yet God kept his promise to send a Savior. And now God has given us this reminder, the ultimate reminder of just how great his love is, that even though we were sinners, he gave his son, his beloved son, to die for us and for our sins on the cross. And so at the Lord's Supper, God calls us to remember and rejoice in his love. As we eat the bread, we are reminded and assured that Christ's body was given for us. As we drink from the cup, we are reminded that Christ's blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Every week, as we celebrate this supper, God is saying, "Remember, remember my great love." Jesus even told us as he gave his disciples instructions about the Lord's Supper, he said, "Do this, eat and drink in remembrance of me." So as we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, give thanks to God for his goodness and for his love. As you come before the Lord tonight, remember His great saving act. It's greater than the Exodus from Egypt. It's greater than all the works the Lord had done for His people in the Old Testament, when He sent His Son into this world as a man to live a righteous life and then to die on that cross in the place of sinners. That was the greatest saving act the Lord has ever performed. And He calls us tonight to remember what He has done, to give Him praise for His goodness and His love. Our God and Father, once again, we give You thanks for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for being a gracious God and a merciful Redeemer and Savior. We thank You for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do what we could never have done for ourselves, to die in our place, to deal with the guilt of our sin. We thank You, Lord, that we have forgiveness through faith in Him. We thank You, Father, that we can now call upon You as God, not only as God, but as our Heavenly Father. It's through Christ we give You thanks and praise this evening. Amen.